Good morning.
Radio.
Good morning. What a wonderful day this is. God created us and he gave us another day to give him glory. This is Bible Storyland. Welcome, welcome. We are glad you joined us this morning. Today is Family Day on Bible Storyland. And we have a great man of God with us, Brother Oliver Charlot. His mother is Glory Dean Charlot. He lives in Alabama, and he is going to be reading.
Georgia.
I'm sorry, in Georgia. Please forgive me. He is going to be reading some scriptures for us. How you doing, Brother Charlot?
I'm doing good. Praise God.
Amen. Bye. Well, you ready to read the word this morning?
Well, if y'all ready to open up in prayer and read, well, I'll be glad to.
Okay. Well, you want to go ahead and read for us, and then I'm gonna say the prayer next. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Okay.
Yes, that's okay.
It's good to be here once again, breaking and sharing the Word of God. This song is a very history.
I'm sorry, you have Psalms 45?
I'm in Psalm 145 and 144.
Yes, 45 and 144.
Okay, 145?
No, Psalms 45.
Okay, I've been in one, okay. And 144?
Yes.
I have to find this. Hold on one second.
Sure, okay. Psalm 45.
My heart is condemning a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of the ready writer. Thou far than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever. Grip my sword upon thy side, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And thy majesty ride. Wait a minute, let me get this here. Prosperity because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thy tremble things. Thy arrow are sharp in the heart of the king's enemy, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thy loving righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thou with the oil of gladness above the fellows. All thy garments smell of and allure and tasted out of the violets or salads, whereby thou hast made thy glad. Kings and daughters are among the honorable women. Upon the right hand did stand thy queens in gold. O fire. Hearken now, daughter, and consider and declare thy ear. Forget also thy own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thy him. And the daughters of Terah shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people which entrain their favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is as worth gold. You shall be brought into the king and raiment of really work. The virgin of compassion that follow her shall be brought into thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, who thou makest, made princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever.
Amen.
That's Psalms 45.
Okay.
And Psalms 144.
Yes, 1 through 10.
Okay.
144, 1 through 10.
Okay, this is, again, this is where David, when God had fought his battles and delivered him through. He said, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teach my hands to walk and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortune, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust. Who subdued my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that pass away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning, and scatter them, shoot out thy arrows, and destroy them. Send thy hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hands of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Will I sing praises unto thee? It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivered David, his servant, from the hurtful sword.
Amen. We thank God this morning for the reading of his word. Brother Shiloh, we're so glad you could join us and read God's word to us. And we thank you so much for joining us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to give you praise and glory and honor this morning. We thank you, Father God. Your word says when two or more gather together in your name, you are in the midst of us. And so, Father, we thank you for joining us this morning on Bible Storyland. We ask you to bless each and every family member represented here and the families that they represent, oh God. And, Father, we're so grateful in the name of Jesus that you are our King, you are our Lord, you are our Shepherd. And we ask you, Lord, to have your way on Bible Storyland today, Father God. And, Father God, we lift up each and every family member, fathers and mothers and children, aunts and uncles and grandparents, oh God. And we thank you, Father God, for hiding all of us under the shadow of your almighty wings, oh God. We thank you that you are great in the heavens and great in the earth. We come to give you glory. We come to give you praise this morning, oh God. And we come to say thank you, Lord. Father, we repent before you. For any way we've sinned against you, you are the Most High God. We are human and subject to sin, O God. So we ask you to create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us daily, O God. And we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for answering our prayers, O God. And, Father, we are blessed because of you, O God. And we thank you, Father God, that you are such a blessing to us. You are the Most High God. We honor you today. We give you glory. We give you praise, O God. And we thank you for dwelling, for allowing us to dwell in your holy presence this morning, O God. Father God, touch those who may be sick among us, O God. Touch their bodies and heal, O God. We know you, Father God, to be a great and mighty physician, O God. You are not a limited God, O God. We thank you that you are not a man, O God, that you are the Almighty Father, Almighty God. You are Jehovah, a mighty healer, Jehovah Rapha, O God. We thank you, Father God, that you are Jehovah Elohim and Jehovah Elyon, O God. We're just so grateful, Father God, that you chose us to be your very elect children, O God. We thank you, Father God, for those that you are saving even on today, O God. Thank you for planting them and adding them into your body, O God. And we just thank you for the children being safe, O God, as they begin to go back to school, Father God. We ask you, Father God, for protection around them, O God. We thank you for godly teachers and principals and faculty and staff over them. We thank you for godly parents, O God, rising up and taking their rightful place in you, O God. We bless you today, Father God, and we honor you, O God. And we just lift up the elderly this morning, Father God. Touch their bodies, O God. Make a way out of no way, O God. I thank you for encouraging the elderly, Father God. Father God, those that may be traveling, we ask you, Lord, to give them traveling mercy and grace. In the mighty name of Jesus, have your way this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We bless and honor you, O Most High. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're honoring families on Bible Storyland. God created families. He first, something is going on with my computer, so just be patient. It's shutting down for some reason, but just be patient with us this morning, please. Something is going on with it right now, but in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing, Father God. I thank you for bringing the computer back up, oh God, and we thank you for what you're doing with the computer. Have your way this morning, oh God. And we thank God that he created families this morning. He created Adam and Eve. Can you all hear me this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Amen.
Okay, good. All right, the computer is beginning to start back up, so just be patient this morning. Today we're honoring families on Bible Storyland, and as I said before, God created families. He first created Adam and Eve, a man and a woman, and they became parents of two male children, and later they had males and females. So God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So we are thanking God for all that he's doing this morning. Today we speak blessings upon families. We bless you to be great in God and in the power of his might. We bless you, families, to be continually before God and to honor and obey him. We bless you to receive daily benefits from God, from the God of your salvation. We bless you with peace that surpasses all human understanding. We bless you with spiritual discernment and great blessings upon you, spiritual blessings. We bless you with the wisdom of God. We thank God for you as families that he created you. We bless you to speak blessings over your mates, your husbands, over your wives, and wives over your husbands. And we bless you to speak blessings, parents, over your children. You know, God created music, and he loves when we praise him with music and song and spiritual songs. So today we have a great woman of God, a mighty woman from Houston, Texas. Her name is Karen Itell, and she's going to do a praise song for us this morning. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning to you. I'm going to do the song Onward Christian Soldier.
All right. Thank God for you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Is Sister Helena on this morning? She may be trying to get on, but it's something going on with my computer, so I'm going to try to get her on in a few minutes. But in the meantime, we have a great, mighty woman of God from New Orleans, Sister Glory Dean Shiloh. She is the mother of the young man who read the scriptures earlier. Sister Glory Dean, we're asking that you go ahead and play that praise song for us this morning.
Okay. Give me a little chance.
All right, go ahead. Take your time, okay.
I have to go where the piano is.
Okay, just take your time.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Lord, thank you for bringing me through. That's the name of it.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, do you hear me?
No, you cut off. We can't hear you.
You're just fine on my end, Clarita.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I hear her just fine over here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I can hear you when you say, do you hear me, but I can't hear you playing the music.
Thank you for bringing me through.
I thank God for those beautiful songs that you and Karen played this morning. God is a mighty God, and he brought the children of Israel through, and he's bringing us through every situation that we are facing. He is the most powerful God, the most high God. Nothing's impossible to him. There is power in prayer when we petition our Father and seek our Father in prayer. I believe that when we pray, we're having a conversation with the Most High. And, you know, sometimes we can't even go to kings, but we can go straight to the throne room of the Most High God. And so I thank God that he hears and he answers prayer. He says that when we call upon him, he will answer. Whatever we ask in his name, believe, and he will grant it. His word says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So this morning we are blessed to have with us a praying woman, an intercessor, a powerful, mighty woman of God who doesn't mind letting her request be made known unto God. She lives in New Orleans, Louisiana, and we welcome this morning Sister Helena Thomas. How you doing, Sister Helena?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank the Lord. Glad to be here with you all.
Amen. Well, we are waiting on you to call on the name of the Father.
All right. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, this morning that you woke us all up this morning and that we're facing a brand new day, a day that we have never faced before in our entire life. And, Lord, as we face this day, Lord, we thank you that we can face it with you. You, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord. We thank you that you sent your darling son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, today, because of you, Lord, we all drawn to your word. We are drawn to this radio, this telephone program that's being a blessing to the body of Christ and to those that want to learn more about you, those that are seeking, oh God. And Lord, we want to thank you today for our speaker that's coming forth, Bishop Sule, Lord God. I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth to word his mouth from heaven above and give him the words that you would have him to speak to touch the lives of those that hear it and gather those that need to hear the word. Oh, God, that they will find deliverance, that they'll find peace, that they'll find joy, that they'll find salvation, that they'll find the supply of all our needs, because your word says you would supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, Lord God, I ask you to let the anointing fall upon him as he speaks today, Lord God, and let not him speak, but let the Spirit of the living God speak through him. So we thank you for all the listeners. We thank you for Sister Carissa and all those that are here enjoying what you have provided for us to partake of. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What a powerful prayer. We thank God for that prayer this morning, Sister Lainey. We thank you for being on. Not only in New Orleans, in the city of New Orleans, has God our Father ordered the steps of his people, but also in the state of Louisiana. This man of God lives in Louisiana. I believe he lives in Hammond or somewhere in that area. His name is Bishop Edwin Sule. Like David, he is a leader after God's own heart. Like Solomon, he is a wise man who leads with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God's ways. He is our brother in the Lord. He is a faith-based community initiative leader and a program developer. Like Paul, he is a man of integrity who preaches the word of God with boldness and power. I've not had the privilege of meeting Bishop Sule or his family personally, but he is my mentor in the Lord. He has helped me in so many ways, and I'm truly grateful to this man of God for his help and training that he is giving me. Possibly he will tell you about his business and what he does and how we can contact him later at a later time. So, good morning, Bishop Sule.
Good morning, Sister G. God bless you. How are you this day?
I'm doing great. We're so happy you could join us this morning.
I am equally blessed and excited, and thank God for all of those who have prepared the way for us to get to this point.
Amen, amen. Well, we're ready to hear the word.
All right now, well, God is ready, and so are we. We bless the Lord God Almighty, and we count it a privilege and a joy to come on the Bible Storyland Hour to share with you the Word of God. Today, our theme is about family, and what an appropriate theme at an appropriate time as this, because we know that the family is under attack. We have to undergird families so that the body of Christ may continue to go forward and accomplish that which God has purposed. So when we talk about family, God had me to look at the origin of its development. We want to look at who started it and what was its purpose and what were the guidelines that established it. And so we go back to our opening text, go back to the book of Genesis, and looking at Genesis 2 and verse 18, and we see there where God makes a decree, and he says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Right there, God is seeing that he has a plan for man to be successful in the earth, but that plan includes a helpmeet. That helpmeet we learn to know to be woman. And so God put man and woman together to accomplish his will here on earth. And then it goes on to tell us a little bit more in the closing part of that chapter. It says that he says here in the 23rd and 24th verse of chapter 2 in Genesis, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God is establishing the foundation for relationships and family, a man and a woman together leaving the home of their parents and establishing their home. That's the principle that God has ordained and is orchestrating in the kingdom today, and we need to get back to our roots. We have fallen away, and we're not here to put anybody in bondage. We don't want anybody to jump off the phone call because this hasn't been your path. We know that God is a merciful and gracious God, and he can do anything but fail. So if we have not fulfilled that which God has desired, all we have to do is repent and ask God to show us the way. And if we continue on that thought of the origins and the development of family, turning back to the first chapter of Genesis and looking at verses 26 through 28, and we see that God was already looking to establish his kingdom that was in heaven on earth. But God cannot come down to earth. So how was he going to do that? And I'm glad you asked that question, because in Genesis, the first chapter, we see God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, make mankind in our image." In other words, there was a marriage already in heaven. And God wanted to replicate the marriage that was in heaven on earth. So he chose to create man in his image. But watch this now. He chose man to reflect his image and his rule on earth as it is in heaven. And it says he created them male and female. So the concept and the idea was already in God's mind before Eve ever came into being. So this is something that is very important to God. And so when we look at family and we look at what is going on in the world and in our country, America, today, I want to encourage those who are striving to do God's will in this arena. many, many people, many leaders in America understand that marriage represents the very essence and foundation of life and human social order. Everything of value rests on this presumption or truth. Many, many institutions, governments, societies believe that the well-being of children all rests on its stability, family. So when we think about the attacks and the challenges that are coming against family, understand it's a power of darkness. It's the forces of evil. And yes, there is some selfishness on our own part. We must accept our shortcomings, and then we can confess those shortcomings, those sins, those weights that we've allowed to break down our family structure, and ask God to strengthen us that we may fulfill his will here on earth. So we're looking at family as God is looking at family to show forth his rule and his reign on earth as it is in heaven. And so God wants us to continue to do that. And we think about Malachi in the second chapter, and it talks a little bit more about why marriage is so important for the family structure. And it says that in Malachi 2, and we want to go there for a minute and take a look at what it is saying here in this passage of Scripture, looking at verse 14, and the conversation was going on around the people bringing an offering to the Lord, and the Lord was not pleased with them bringing their offering. And hear why God was not pleased with the offering they were bringing. And it says in verse 14 of Malachi 2, "Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and thy wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." God takes family very important, and he takes the marriage vow that comes and brings forth that family union very important. And we need to understand that as we bring that covenant to God, God accepts that covenant and expects us to fulfill it. Now, here's the expectation that God has out of that covenant in verse 15. And it says this, "And he did not make one, yet he made the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed." Right there, God has an expectation on the marriage covenant that it would bring forth a godly seed. That's family. And we have not taken this to heart as God has taken it to heart. And so God is saying he expects a heritage to come out of family that would honor and glorify his name. And so, therefore, marriage is a covenant agreement, and it is permanent to protect the family structure. And that's why we have so many social ills and so many social problems, because there's a breakdown of the family structure. But again, don't jump off the ship. If you stay on the ship, you can get safely to the shore. If you have not been able to make this work, all you have to do is ask God to help you. All you have to do is seek his guidance, seek his will, go into prayer, and come one. Man and woman, become one. Husband and wife, become one. Become what you were before you got married. Best friends. And remain best friends even though you are husband and wife. And it will be the best environment for you to move forth in the vision that God has established for you as family, and to have dominion and rule here on earth as it is in heaven. So God really looks for the family to emulate his family in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then we know that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it tells us that children should honor their parents, but parents should live a life that children would want to honor. And furthermore, it says, fathers, do not provoke your child. And I took particularly note of that commendation. Fathers, do not provoke your child. In other words, God expects the man to be the spiritual leader of his home and to be present in that home as that child is growing up. Whether it's male or female, a child needs a father in their life. And that is another problem that we have today in society. We have so many young people, male and female, who don't have a father growing up in their life so they will understand how to grow up and be respectful children and adults. And so God cares for the family of those who honor him. We can look in Genesis, the 7th chapter, and we see the story of Noah and his family. And we know the story, how the world had gone to living a lifestyle that was contrary to what God had ordained. Sounds sort of like today. The world is just living in chaos, and everyone is going about their own way, and no one or very few people are thinking about biblical standards for living, for family. And God looked at Noah and his family, and because of the lifestyle that they lived, a righteous lifestyle, God honored Noah and his family and saved his family from the destruction that came at that time. And then in the book of Acts, to show you how much family is important to God, God says that he would save your whole family through you who have a godly lifestyle. So we can help our families come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then families have a spiritual obligation. Notice I said spiritual. I didn't say religious. Because religious is what you do out of habit. Spiritual is what comes from the heart. And the Bible says that where a man's heart is, or a woman's heart is, there is their treasure. So there's a spiritual obligation that families have, that first and foremost, that we, mom and dad, live and follow God's word so that our children can see that every day in the home as we go about our daily affairs. And then as we teach them about the God that we love and serve, they will become children of the Most High God and begin to serve and love that same God. So we are commanded to follow God and teach our children the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, and we've heard this, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, train up a child in the way that they would go. Children will be children, and they'll grow into young adults and adults, and they might drift away. Not all, but they might drift away. But there'll come the moment of truth when they realize that they need to get back to their foundation. But there has to be a foundation laid in them for them to understand and know that that's where they need to come back to. But we thank God for those who never left the foundation and stayed on the ship. Remember, if you stay on the ship, you can get safely to the shore. And so in Hebrews 10:24-25, continuing to talk about our spiritual obligation, it tells us that we are to be attentive, continuously care to watching over one another, that we might study and then to show how we may stir up one another. And that word stir up is to stimulate and incite one another to love and helpful deeds and noble activities in our family. A family is a unit where one looks to help the other with nothing in return. And then also in a larger context, the church, we have an obligation to assemble ourselves together, to come together for fellowship and for encouragement and for strength. And again, we need to follow God's will for family in this regard. And then finally, we want to talk about how God looks at family from heaven And he sees we, his children, as family. In Deuteronomy 14:1, it says, ye are the children of the Lord, your God. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. God is crazy about you and your family, and he wants the best for you and your family. But you have to want the best for you and your family, and the best is to follow God's ways. And in Romans 8:15-17 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, and we cry, Abba, Father. We call him Daddy. We are his children. 1 Corinthians 12:12 tells us that the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body. So as we come out of darkness into God's marvelous light, we become his children and his child, and we become part of the body of Christ, a family unit. And that is one that is breathing, moving, and a will of God this day here as it is in heaven. So I want to say this in closing and thanking you for listening to these thoughts on family. It's family and families to reflect goodness on earth. Look at Galatians 6:10. It says these words. As we have
opportunity. Bishop, you're beginning to fade out just a little bit. You may be traveling in a certain area. Hello? Bishop Sule? You've kind of faded out. Well, we thank God for the message that Bishop Sule gave this morning. He may come back in as they pass, you know, they're traveling in a car. So he may have hit an area where the signal was lost. But we thank Bishop Sule for talking to us about families this morning, how we should, you know, undergird our families in prayer. He talked about the origin of families in Genesis 2:18. He also talked about God's plan for families in Genesis 2:22-23. He talked about fathers leave your mother and your parents, leaving your mother and your father and cleaving unto your wife. He talked about us getting back to our roots. And he really encouraged us in the word this morning, not, you know, putting anyone down, but just encouraging us in God's way. You know, we have to follow God's way, his plan. God is the one who created male, female, and children. And in order for the marriages to work, we have to follow God's plan. If we try to follow the plan out here in the world for families, it's not going to work, because families was created by God. And that's the only way they're going to work, if we lean and depend upon God, not our own understanding about how to be married, not our own understanding about how to raise our children, but upon God's own understanding. And when we get into the word, he also talked about a script. He gave scriptures from Malachi 2:14. He was all in the word this morning. We appreciate that. Deuteronomy 14:1, Romans 8:15-17, 1 Corinthians 12:12, and he talked about, you know, the church, how God established the church, and how, you know, we as a church, and how fathers have to come up, you know, and come up to a higher place and acknowledge God, and mothers too, and be examples to the children, and how fathers should not provoke the children, but they should bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. First, we have to be examples so our children can have examples. How would they know how to follow God if we're not following them, if we're not being the leaders, you know, in our family? So I thank God for that message this morning, and Bishop Sule will come back in at some point. But like I said, they're traveling, so I just pray God's mercy traveling mercy upon he and his family this morning as they travel. You know, God gives us families, as we said before, to love and to support us. And this next woman of God, she has been a great support for me throughout my life and to others, her children, her child and grandchildren and neighbors, children and children in the church. She has been a blessing. Her name is Mrs. Mildred Brown. She is my aunt. God has blessed her with many years, far beyond her and our expectations, and we're thanking God for the abundant life he's given her. She turned 101 in June, and she has been a member of her church since 1934. And as I said before, her name is Mildred Brown, but we call her Aunt Mildred. She's going to sing for us this morning to the glory of God. Good morning, Aunt Mildred.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you feeling this morning?
I've been going on this morning. Lord has blessed me to be able to come to hear this wonderful program this morning. I'm going to attempt to sing the song that he touched me with. I'm laden with this heavy burden, worried with this guilt and shame. Let the Lord of Jesus' hands touch me, and I no longer feel the same. Yes, he touched me. Yes, he touched me. And oh, what joy has rent my soul. Something happened, and now I know that he touched me, and he made me whole. I said, he touched me. Yes, he touched me. And oh, what joy has rent my soul. Something happened. And now I know that he touched me, the Lord, he touched me, and he made me whole.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. I thank God for that awesome song Aunt Mildred sang. I tell you what, he continues to give her strength. And, you know, he didn't touch only Aunt Mildred now. He touched each one of us. You know, we didn't get up this morning by the alarm clock or the sun. God touched us and woke us up this morning.
Yes.
He gave us our right minds. He gave us help and help. And he just continually touched us every day with his hand of mercy. You know, all the things that we've done against God, he could have killed us. But he touched us with his hand of mercy. And we're so grateful for all that he's doing on our behalf. This morning, I'm looking for a great, mighty woman of God from Jacksonville, Florida this morning. Her name is Jackie Travis. Jackie, are you on? I know she was on, but I think she got dropped. She may be back on a little bit later, but we thank God for her this morning. As we continue in the program this morning, I just call upon Karen Itell to pray another praise song for us this morning.
All right, I'm going to change over to a different song that I told you about earlier. And we're doing Family Day, and one popped in my head. Well, I'm so glad we're a part of the family of God. Thank you.
Amen. I'm so glad we're part of the family of God. What a great song that is, because you know what? We can't come to God unless he calls us, and what a privilege it is for the Most High, the only true and living God, to call us. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and so we're grateful to the Most High for all that he does for us and all that he's doing. He continuously moves on our behalf. So we are glad to be a part of God's family. Our Bible story character this morning is Elizabeth. We're continuing on about with families. You know, Elizabeth was married to Zechariah. She was the wife of Zechariah and the mother of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. What kind of mother you think God was looking for when he chose Elizabeth to be John the Baptist's mother, before he carefully placed John the Baptist in her womb? What kind of characteristics did she have that the Almighty chose Elizabeth to be the mother of a mighty man of God who was known as the forerunner of Christ? Now, Elizabeth was a devout woman, which means she devoted herself to God. She spent time with him. She gave up who she was to be obedient to God, her creator. She was a sincere woman. She reverenced God. She was serious in her relationship with Father God. She set aside time daily to spend with him. She was consecrated, you know, exclusive devotion to God. You know, she didn't take her mind off of let things distract her. She kept her mind steadfast on God and what he wanted. I believe that possibly if Elizabeth was, you know, alive today with all the distractions we have, the cell phone, the computer, the TV, the, you know, all kinds of things, that electronic distractions, she still would have put them aside. And her top priority, her number one priority, would still have been her father. Now, if you recall the story of Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, Elizabeth was barren. She and her husband, you know, Zacharias, didn't have any children, and they had turned older. You know, they had become older and probably didn't even think that they would even have children again. But, you know, God is an awesome God, and he's a faithful God. And he hears the prayers and the cries of his children. Now, in Luke, it says, many attempted to write about what had taken place among the people. They received their information from those who were eyewitnesses to the servants of God's word from the very beginning. Passed it on to us. I, too, have followed everything closely from the beginning, says Luke. So he thought it would be a good idea to write an orderly account for your excellency, Theophilus. In this way, you will know what has been told is true. You know, there were many historians that wrote during that time. Luke took it upon himself. He had been with Christ to write about things that happened during that time. He said, when Herod was the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the vision of the priest after Abijah. Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth, was a descendant of Aaron. Zacharias and Elizabeth had God's approval. They followed all the Lord's commandments, not some of them. They followed all his commandments and regulations perfectly. Not saying that they were perfect people without fault, but they followed his regulations as perfectly as they knew how. Yet they never had any children because Elizabeth couldn't become pregnant. Both of them were too old to have children. Zacharias was on duty with the division of priests. As he served God in God's presence, he was chosen by priestly custom to go into the Lord's temple to burn incense. All the people were praying outside while he was burning incense. Then to the right of the altar, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Zechariah was troubled, and overcome with fear. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you will name him John. He will be the pride and joy of your lives, and many people will be glad that he was born. As far as the Lord is concerned, he will be a great man. He will never drink wine or strong drink, no liquor or any strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring many people in Israel back to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord by the spirit of the power of Elijah, that Elijah had. He will change parents' attitude towards children. He will change obedient people so that they will accept the wisdom of those who have God's approval. In this way, he will prepare the people for their Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "What proof is this? What proof is there for this? I am an old man, and my wife is beyond childbearing years." The angel said unto him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. God sent me to tell you this good news. Because you didn't believe what I said, you will be unable to speak until the day this happens. You cannot talk. Everything will come true at the right time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah. They were amazed that he was staying in the temple so long. And when he did come out, he was unable to speak to them. So they realized he had had a vision or seen a vision in the temple. He motioned to them, but he was still unable to talk. When the days of his service were over, he went home. Later, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and didn't go into the public for 5 months. She said, "The Lord has done this to me now. He has moved my public disgrace." 6 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a city in Galilee. The angel went to the virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, "You are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you." She was startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. The angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and name him Jesus. He will be a great man, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of the ancestors of David. Your son will be the king of Jacob's people forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be? I've never known a man." The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside you will be called the Son of God. Elizabeth, your relative, is 6 months pregnant with her son. A son in her old age. People said she couldn't have a child, but nothing is impossible to God." Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. Let everything you said happen to me." Then the angel left her. Soon after, Mary hurried to the city in the mountain region of Judah. She entered to Zechariah's home, she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting, she felt her baby inside of her leap in the womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will have. I feel blessed that the mother of the Lord is visiting me. As soon as I heard your greeting, I felt the baby jump, leap for joy. You are blessed for believing that the Lord will keep his promise to you." Mary said, "My soul praises the Lord's greatness. My spirit feels My spirit finds its joy in God, my Savior, because he has looked favorably upon me, his humble servant. From now on, all people will call me blessed, because the Almighty has done great things to me. His name is holy for those who fear him. His mercy lasts throughout every generation. He displayed his mighty power. He scattered those who think highly of themselves. He pulled strong rulers from their thrones. He honored humble people. He feed hungry people with good food. He sent rich people away with nothing. He remembered to help his servant Israel forever. This is the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants. Mary stayed with Elizabeth 3 months and then she went back home. When the time came for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very kind to her, and they shared her joy. When the child was 8 days old, he went to the temple to circumcise him. They were going to name him Zacharias after his father, but his mother spoke up, "Absolutely not. His name will be John." Their friend said to her, "But you don't have any relatives with that name." So they motioned to the baby's father to see what he wanted to name the child. Zacharias asked for a writing tablet. His name is John. Everyone was amazed. Suddenly, Zacharias was able to speak again, and he began to praise God, his father. And so we see, you know, God's word is true. God's word is true. To Father God, nothing is impossible. Can you imagine all the joy that Elizabeth felt while waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for all those years? She waited a long time. She had probably never even thought that she would, you know, birth a child. And, you know, certainly her husband didn't. The Bible says Elizabeth's son John was great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or strong drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. How many of you can say your children will be filled with the Holy Ghost in your womb? How many of you are praying over your babies? How many of you are praying, even though some of them may be grown, how many of you still pray for your children? They're still your children, even if they're 44 years old or 4 years old. They're still your children. You should still be praying for them. You know, Elizabeth and Zacharias was a praying man. The Bible talks about that. And, you know, God blessed them because of their faithfulness. God gave them the forerunner to Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. He paved the way for Jesus to come. What kind of qualities did Elizabeth have that caused God to choose her to birth the forerunner to Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty God? Not only was Elizabeth a devout woman, but she had love for home and for family. She believed God and his promises. She was also the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Here are two women who are cousins who had devoted their lives to God, one married and one single, which shows us that whether we are married or single, it's still possible to do a mighty work for God. But we have to be obedient to him. We have to do things in his order. As Bishop Soule said, you know, he first birthed man, and then woman, and then they had children. So we have to go according to God's plan. But if we step out of God's will, we can come back by saying, "God, forgive us, for we stepped out of your will. We were disobedient. Forgive us, O God." Now, these two women were obedient servants of God, and they believed in God, and they were faithful servants, both of them. Both John the Baptist and Jesus' birth, an angel appeared on the scene and announced their birth. The angel Gabriel was sent to foretell both of the births, John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus. God chose his special angel to foretell the birth, and his name was Gabriel. Let's look at Elizabeth's heritage. Her father, she was a descendant from Aaron, and Aaron was a high priest. He followed Moses. He was a spokesman for Moses. He supported Moses. He held up Moses' hand in battle. And, you know, God has people to hold up our hands when we're going through different situations. He was excluded from the promise that, you know, God had for his life because of his disobedience. He had a relationship with God. Elizabeth knew God for herself. Her forefathers knew God, and they her forefather Aaron was a prophet, and she learned the ways of God from her forefathers. Elizabeth was a righteous woman, and which meant that she chose right living over riotous living. She chose to obey God rather than enjoy the pleasures of the world for a season. She was not only righteous before God, but before her husband. She also, and her husband Zacharias, walked in all of God's commandments all the days of their lives. Now, Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine in the as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that we may rejoice in the day of Christ, that we may not run in vain, neither labor in vain." Now, Elizabeth was probably very careful when she was carrying John, the forerunner of Christ, to get plenty of rest, to eat healthy, to spend time in the presence of the Most High God, who chose her to, you know, to take care of John and how to care for him even in the womb. God knows what we need before we have need of it. Now, Mary went to Elizabeth, her cousin, and when she asked for Mary, she greeted Mary, the baby that Mary was carrying leaped in Elizabeth's womb. So, you know, God gives parents specific instructions on how to raise the children. God gave Zacharias instructions, and God gave Mary instructions on how, Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph on how to raise baby Jesus. So when we follow God's instructions, we will not go wrong. I want to tell you some important things to remember and do. I want to tell you what was hidden long ago, things that we've heard our parents have told us of long ago. Now, let's look in Psalm 78, where God talks about what we're to do with our children. And, you know, God's word is awesome. He didn't leave a thing out. He included everything that we were going to need to rear our children and how we should live as parents. He said in Psalm 78, starting at verse 1, "Open your ears." Hold on one second, please. I want to read this in the other version. Hold on, please. Excuse me. Psalm 78, it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known. Our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing them to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful work that he have done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he hath commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generations to come might make them known, even to the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments, and they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast in God." So we have to train up our children in God's ways. God is ordering us today to train up the children in the way that they should go. You know, he says in Proverbs 22:6, Train up a children. Now, you know, in Psalm 78, he talks about we have to tell the children. Every generation needs to know about God. And so when you train the children up to God's ways, it won't drop a generation, a rebellious generation. If you look at our children today, you say something to them and they sucking their teeth and rolling their eyes and bucking at you. Why? Because we have not steadfast to God's word. We haven't told the generations of children about God. But it's not too late. We can go to God. We can ask forgiveness, and we can come and we can say, Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us, for we have not instructed our children in your ways, but we repent of it, Lord God. And so then you can begin to instruct. If you haven't done it with your children, you can still start no matter how old they are. You can put your arms around them and tell them you love them. You made a mistake. You didn't follow God's ways. And you can say, but you know, from this day forth, I plan to follow God's ways. And I want to tell you about God's ways and his goodness. You know, one of God's ways is he said to parents, he said, I want you to tell your children about me. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength, and then to love each other like we love ourselves. He commanded that of us. And then he told parents, he said, now, from the time you get up in the morning, he didn't tell the teachers this. He didn't even tell Sunday school teachers this. He didn't even tell pastors or apostles or prophets this. He said, parents, from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed, teach your children my ways. First, teach them to love me with all their heart, soul, and strength. Then teach them to love each other. And then teach them my commandments. Teach them, instruct them in the car, on the way to school, in the house. Teach them when they get up. In the afternoon, teach them. In the nighttime, teach them before they go to bed. You know, even if you have to put the scriptures and paste them on the TV, and say, this is time out for TV. This is time for God's word. Give the children scriptures they need. Look in the Bible. Search out scriptures that God said for children. One of them is, like Bishop Soule said, Ephesians 6. That is about children. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Don't you know if we haven't trained them up to obey us, they're not going to live a long life. That is a promise from God. And if we haven't taught them how to obey God, how can they live a long life? Because that's disobedience to God. So we got to train them up to obey God. The first thing he said is to learn to love him, learn to love others like they love themselves, not to be selfish and disobedient and unruly and rebellious. We have got to help young parents, older parents, train up their children in the way they should go. He said, women, train the older women, train the younger women. And that goes for men, too. Older men, train the younger men how to love their families. So we got to go about doing the business of God. So God instructed us as to what to do. If you don't know his instructions, get on the computer. Search the word out. Go to older men, older women. Say, look, I don't know God's scriptures. What is God telling me to do in this hour? What is he saying to me? How can I bring up my children according to God's plan? How can I love my wife the way God said? How can I love my husband the way God said? How can I love my children the way God said? We've got to search these things out because God is holding us responsible. Our children are dying on the street daily. What can we do? What can we do? He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray, then they will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Don't you know our children are in our land? They are being shot up. I've seen them murdered on the street, blood flowing out of their bodies. Some of this is not their fault. They have gotten caught up in cults and evil and wicked things out here. And it's no different than in Sodom. During Sodom and Gomorrah's time, this is what was going on. So we want to bring ourselves and our families back to God. You don't know what God is bringing in your path. You know, you don't know what God given you in your household. He could have given you an apostle to raise, a prophet to raise, an evangelist or a teacher to raise, part of the fivefold ministry. He could have given you a Christian doctor to raise, a Christian dentist, a Christian administrator, a Christian automobile mechanic, a Christian entrepreneur to raise in your household. But how would you know unless you seek God? And you don't speak those things as though they be over your children. There's life and death in your tongue, so speak life to your children. You don't know what your children may become. So, you know, you could say to them, baby, you know, I thank God that he gave you to me. You know, when you become a doctor or when you become a teacher or when you become an attorney or when you become a cosmetologist, I want to tell you that God expects these things of you, that you become righteous and holy and stay holy before God. You don't have to turn back from serving God. There's a man in the Bible, a young man, Daniel. He never turned back from God. He served God all the days of his life. But if you don't know these things to tell your children, search the scriptures out. You can tell your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren all about God and how much he loved them. So this morning, I want to encourage you parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, to encourage the children in your neighborhood. I know sometimes we take a risk. Maybe they won't, you know, like it when we say something, but it depends on how we say it. How are we talking to them? Sometimes if you approach them in the right manner, they will listen to you. So approach the children. Don't fear. Say, good morning or good afternoon, and what's your name? And, you know, establish a relationship with them. Don't go say, you're doing the wrong thing. That ain't right. You ain't supposed to cut. No, no, no. How is your approach with the children? They will receive you because God has you on a mission. So I want to tell you this morning that whatever God has purposed for you to be the best that you can be. Remember to live righteous lives, which means to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, to live lives of integrity, a life that will be pleasing to God. And I want you to know that prayer changes things. So this morning, we are going to have prayer this morning. I don't know if Bishop Sule came back on this morning, if he was able to come back on. But if you're on this morning, Bishop Sule, would you press 1 again so that I'll know where you are? Okay, I don't see him as of yet. Right now, I'm still looking for him. If he is not able to come back on, we have a mighty woman of God who always is so faithful to be on with us. Her name is, oh, wait, this may be Bishop Sule right now. Hold on 1 second. Let me see.
God bless you, Sister G.
Hey, Bishop Sule. We're glad you made
Praise
it back.
God bless
for
you. I'm sorry we got cut off. I am back with you.
Okay, great. All right, at this time we're going to take request for prayer this morning. So if you need prayer, will you press 1 and give me just a moment, and I will honor your request. Let's see someone here. Press 1. Hold on, please. This is my surrogate father. Good morning, Frank. How are you? Hello? Frank?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
This is my surrogate father. He raised me in Ohio for 5 long years, so I thank God for him. And I just thank God for him blessing me. He still blesses me. Even when I was a child, he blessed me in his household, allowed me to stay with his family, my sister and my niece and nephew, and he took good care of me. So I'm here to tell the story today about how God can put other parents in your life. So he is my parent. So you called in for a request, prayer request this morning?
Yes. Bless my family in a special way. And also, Sister G, bless you also. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Frank. We're glad you're on. Okay, Bishop Sule is going to be praying shortly. Any more prayer requests? If you're already on, you can speak. Some people are pressing in. So just give me a few seconds or so to let you on. Good morning, Sister Martha from Kalamazoo. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I didn't press the button, but I was going to. Enjoyed the program so far, as always. It's blessed. I just asked for prayer for the Lord to just bless me with more dedication to Him and to learn more about His Word and to execute it. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a great request.
Praise God, Sister Caretta.
Yes. Who's this?
June Paul from Louisiana.
Oh, good morning. How are you, Dr. June Paul?
Fine. I just would like to two things to tell you how very much I enjoyed your musician from Texas playing the piano, and I always do. Also, I enjoyed Bishop Soule today. Amen. And all of the participants, including my friend, Sister Helena. But my special request is for my granddaughter, who's 23 years old, and she just went under, she had a heart surgery in Los Angeles at the UCLA Heart Hospital. So remember her in prayer. Praise the Lord. Her name is Rachel.
Okay, thank you. Any more requests this morning? If you already pressed one, you can speak.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, this is Sandra in New Orleans.
Okay.
I just wanted to say I enjoyed your show as usual, and I love you very much.
I love you too.
I want prayers for me and my family for our health.
Okay.
For salvation.
All right.
For the ones that don't have it.
All righty. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Thank you, Sister Sandra.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Prayer requests. Okay, hold on, please. I'm putting people on as you press one. Just be patient with me. I thank God for you. Okay, Sister Jackie here. Press one. Hold on. Oh, no, that's someone from Louisiana. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Linda.
How are you, Sister Teresa?
I'm doing great, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I enjoyed your program this morning.
Amen. Thank God for you. You have a prayer request.
Pray for me and my family.
Okay. All righty.
All right.
So much, Linda. I appreciate you being on. God bless you.
All right.
All right. Hold on. I'm putting people on as they're requesting prayer this morning. All righty. Hold on, please. Okay. I don't want to miss anybody. So if I'm going to call out the prayer request. If I miss somebody, please let me know. Frank is asking blessings for his family and himself. Also, we're going to pray for excellent health for him. Sister Martha, dedication, and that she would execute and be obedient to God, execute what God's telling her. Dr. June Paul is requesting prayer for her granddaughter, Rachel, who had heart surgery. Sandra Lombard in New Orleans is asking for a prayer for her family for salvation. And Linda in New Orleans is asking for prayer for her family. So if anybody else is requesting prayer, press 1. We're going to give you a few more minutes, and Bishop Soule is going to be praying for people this morning. All righty. Okay, I'm still looking, so hang on. I'm checking the computer, seeing anybody else press 1 on here. And I am requesting prayer myself, Bishop Soule, for my family, for me, and that I will continually hearken into the voice of the Lord, that I would be more sensitive to God and that He would give me a greater measure of discernment.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? All right, I believe that I have all the prayer requests down. And Bishop Soule, are you ready?
I am ready, Sister G.
All right, thank you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give you glory, praise, and honor. We thank you, Lord God, for this blessed opportunity to call upon your holy and everlasting name. And we come, Daddy God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And we come welcoming the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, that you would have divine preeminence in our life right now, Lord God, that you move by your power divine. Thank you right now for salvation, full and free, for Sister Sandra and her family, Lord God. We bind that spirit of darkness that's operating over her family. We loose the gift of light right now, Lord God, that they would come out of darkness into your marvelous light. And then, Father, we thank you right now for healing mercies. And we bind that spirit of infirmity and the sickness and disease affecting Dr. June Paul's granddaughter in UCLA. Father, we thank you for creating a new heart within her, guiding the eyes and the hands and the minds of those who are in charge over the surgery, Father. And we thank you that all will be well. And we claim healing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And, Father, we thank you for Linda. We thank you for Frank. And we thank you right now, Lord God, for our sister who desires a stronger and closer walk with you in Kalamazoo, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that we will present our bodies a living sacrifice, Lord God, which is our reasonable service. And we come now, Lord God, thanking you that you would help us to be sensitive to the move of your spirit in this particular point in time. Father, we need to be a light in this dark world. For many are calling wrong right and right wrong, but we need to hold up the bloodstained banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and know that right and righteousness will always prevail. So, Father, we thank you as we journey this week to and fro, that we will let that light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine brightly in our hearts, and others may see our good work and inquire of you who have brought this to pass. Father, we thank you right now that you continue to bless this Bible Storyland ministry. Bless those who have undergirded and supported, Lord God, those are in the background. Thank you for the prayer warriors. Thank you for those who have prepared the airways, Lord God, as we minister today. Thank you for this sacred opportunity, and thank you for the blood, the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we know shall never, ever lose its power. And we apply the blood of Jesus over every home, over every person listening right now, Lord God, that through the blood and the power of the Holy Spirit, we shall have victory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Ooh, we thank you for that powerful prayer, Bishop.
God bless you, Sister G. It's a blessing to be on with you.
Thank you so very much. We appreciate you and us. Do we have any testimonies this morning? Any testimonies? Anyone want to tell about how God has been good to them and how he continues to be good to us? Any testimonies this morning?
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Yes, I'd like to give a revelation that God gave me, if I may.
Okay.
I was blessed to go to Power Springs, Georgia, with my dear friend, Dr. June Paul, and I was sitting out there on one of the porches where I was doing my writing, and I was surrounded by all the trees. There's so many trees out there in Georgia, and as I looked up on the trees, I began to see all the leaves upon leaves everywhere. And I began to think on the scripture in Matthew 14 chapter, beginning with the 14th, where he blessed these two fish and the five loaves of bread and provided food for 5,000 men plus women and children. And as I began to look at those leaves, I began to think about we as human beings. God loves us more than leaves. And if he can multiply billions upon trillions of leaves, untold numbers of leaves throughout the world, how much more important are we to him than the leaf on a tree? And as I thought on all those leaves, as I looked out there looking at the trees, I thought on how God is, he's in the multiplying business. And just as he fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, he could spread a banquet table right in this moment and would cook food, delicious food, and feed the entire world. If he can do that for a leaf on a tree, aren't we more important than a leaf on a tree? And my faith grew by leaps and bounds as I began to realize that, how the power of God, and he's already prepared food for us. We've never gone without food since the day we were born, and even the ancestors that came before us. He's always provided the air, the water, and he's a God that is a provider. And as I thought on that, I even thought about the ground. When you look at the earth that's under us, think about out of the earth came the tree. Out of the earth came human beings, all the animals, everything that there is creeping around the earth, it came out of the earth. And as I look on that earth, I look at the tree. A tree also, out of a tree comes wood. You take a wood and you build a house. Out of the tree comes paper. Paper that you have, such as the money that you have right now. Every dollar you have in your possession, it comes out of the tree. It's paper. And as I looked on that, I looked on the richness of the earth that God has for us. We're walking on rich soil, rich. His word says he will give us the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Do you know our riches comes out of the earth? Our riches. Mm-hmm. So when we think about that, God has tremendously blessed us. He's tremendously blessed us. So the word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is the true scripture. We don't have to want for anything because he's already made the way. So God bless you. I just want to share what God has let me see. The higher faith, trusting in him for everything that we need.
Amen, amen. I thank God for that testimony. He sure does supply all of our needs to his riches and glory. You know, sometimes we throw away things that really God has blessed us with and we should keep. And things, you know, he multiplies. Sometimes we have little, and he'll start multiplying those things. And we'll say, oh, my God, I thought I didn't have this or I thought I didn't have that. But he is a multiplier. So I thank God. Thank you so much, Sister Elena. God bless you. Any more testimonies? We got about another 2 or 3 minutes. All right. Well, I thank God for each of you this morning. I love each of you. Let God have his way in your life on a daily basis. Yield to him. You know, it takes him to help us. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us, but we got to yield in order for him to do that. We got to say, Lord, I need help in this area. Lord, I need help in that area. And don't you know he's faithful to us? Study his word. The word, there's power in the word of God. There's strength in the word of God. There's healing in the word of God. There's instructions in the word of God. There's so much in the word of God. I look forward to hearing from each of you on next Saturday at the same time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Could I say something just for 1 minute, if
okay,
I may?
Okay, sure.
All right. I just want to give God the glory for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sister June Paul told me something that really works, and I just wanted to share it with anyone out there that may think negative or don't have their mind on the Lord as they should. If any negative thought come to your mind or anything that you shouldn't be thinking on, pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it helps me so much. And I want to thank her and thank God that she gave that wisdom. And it will help your mind, really will keep your mind on the Lord. Anything that you should, even the unforgiveness, anything you think on that you know you've forgiven and the devil will come back on your mind, pray in the Holy Ghost. It will really clear your mind. So thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Amen. Another thing that you can do also is say, I cast that thought down in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We can down vain imaginations and unholy thoughts before God, because we're human, and the devil sends us all kind of ugly thoughts. But we can cast those down. We can say, I cast that down in the name of Jesus. I don't receive that in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
So I thank God for each of you. I wish each of you a blessed day, a blessed week, a blessed month, and a blessed year. And remember, God loves you so very much that he was willing that his son come to earth, die, and resurrect so that we can have abundant life and life more abundantly. And you know, Jesus paid a price. He paid a price for us, a high price, his life. He paid the price of his life. He gave up his life. And so what can we do? Can we give up an hour for him to study the word? Can we give up a TV show? Can we give up a meal? You know, Job said, I desire the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Can't we give up something to do something for God? He does so much for us. And, of course, we can't outbeat God giving, but we can give up something for him. Even if it's an hour a day or 30 minutes a day, we can give up something. Now, you know, I just thank God for each of you. I see my aunt, my other aunt on here, Bernadette Gantlin, Pastor Bernadette Gantlin. If you would like to say a brief something, you can press 1. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I thank God for you being on here. I know you're getting ready to go to your church service this morning, but we're honored that God allowed you to be on with us this morning. So we thank God for you, Pastor Bernadette. And others who are on here, okay, you're already on, Sister Martha. Is that you pressing 1?
No.
Okay, wait, hold on. Someone else press 1. Hold on. Let me put you on. Let me find out where you are. You may be already on. You want to speak? Somebody press 1. I think you're already on. You want to go ahead and speak? Hello? Okay, they didn't say anything yet. Let me see if that was Pastor Bernadette Gantley. Hold on, let me see. Okay, I did see her number on here a few minutes ago. All righty. Hold on 1 second, please. I'm looking for whoever it was that pressed 1 to put them on. Yes, that's her. Hold on 1 second. All right. Good morning, Pastor Bernadette.
Praise the Lord, Sister G. How are you? This is great. Awesome.
I'm doing great, Pastor Gantlin. How are you?
I'm marvelous. I'm always marvelous.
Amen, amen. Mighty woman of God, people of God.
Yes, I was doing something. And I said, oh, let me see, can I get on here to listen? Because, like you said, I was getting ready for a service today. And I just thank God for all of what I've heard. I'll tell you, it has rejoiced my heart. I agree with many of the prayers. They're my same prayers for myself and for others. And I just thank God for you and for your show. And I just thank God for the people of God who have just gathered together. The Word of God talks about our assembling together and how it's just beautiful for the union of the brethren. And I just thank God for you. I pray that you continue to work and labor for the just the kingdom of God in general, and you all just be greatly, immensely blessed, and I love you.
We love you, too, and you be blessed, too. Thank you for being on.
Yes,
sorry, what'd you say?
I thought I had missed you all.
Oh, no, thank God you didn't miss us.
I thank God I did.
I think somebody has their radio or TV or something on. Would you mind cutting the sound off? Because it's coming into the show. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. All right. Anybody else?
If you all be blessed, I'm going to go for my ride now, and I know you can hear it when we ride. So you
all
be
right.
Blessed, and I'll see you later.
All right. Thank you so much for being on.
All right. Love you.
Love you, too. All right, somebody still have their something on in their house, and we can hear you. We can hear the sound, so if you don't mind turning it off or down for us until we completely end the show. But we got about 3 or 4 more minutes. So anybody else have anything they want to say?
I want to just thank God for the prayers, and I believe especially the leadership should be those prayers should be for all of us that are on the leadership team. Thanks.
Amen, amen. Thank God. Amen. They were. I thank God for them. Sister Brenda's kind of quiet this morning. I did see her on here at some point. Let's see if she's still on there. Sister Brenda. Brenda Lombard from Houston, Texas. I'm still looking for her. Let's see, she was on here a few minutes ago. I'm looking for her number again. She may have had to hang up because she has a show coming on later. Later on this morning. I don't see her. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's not her. So she may have had to hang up to get ready for her show. So anyway, I thank God for each of you. And as I said, have a blessed day, blessed month, blessed year. And tell somebody you love them. And tell somebody about the love of God. That's why he put us here, for his purposes. You know, we didn't come here to do our own thing. We came here for the purpose that God sent us here to do, to complete. We have a purpose in us. We're not going to that purpose is complete. So we just pray God's mercy and grace upon each one of you. And Sister Karen is going to pray play a song for us this morning as we go off the show, as we go off Bible Storyland show this morning. So I continually lift you up in prayer, and you continually lift me up in prayer through the week, and I bless God for each of you. Be blessed of the Lord.
Thank you.
right, callers, you all can hang up now. We're into the show. It's going to click off in a minute if we don't hang up. Some people, Sister Lena still on, Sister Dr. June Paul still on. I'm not sure who that is. A 323 still on. Okay, they hung up. You all can begin to hang up.